Into the book of Philippians. I was going to preach tonight about Nabal, but you know how Brother Mike said this morning, God changes your mind. God changed my mind right in the middle of the service this morning. Amen. I like it when God changes my mind, but sometimes it's scary when he changes your mind. Because see, you done got everything already planned out and ready for where you was. But God says, aha, you've got too ready. You've got too much into that. I guess that's what he's saying. So I'm going to take you somewhere else. Amen. So that you'll have to depend on me. And everything that's done will be about me. And that's what our goal is anyway. If we don't get back to the cross, we don't get to Jesus in our preaching, we've missed a point. Amen. That there's no need of preaching. There's no need of being here. If y'all just need to be entertained, I can entertain you sometimes, but my entertainment's not going to do a bit of good to you. Amen? It's not going to help you one iota, but Jesus is what you need. Amen? I love that song. I need Jesus, and you need him too. Amen? People need the Lord. People need Jesus. They just, most of them don't realize it. Most of them don't know it. Most of them are oblivious to it. But they need Jesus. And once they find that they need Jesus, and once they accept Jesus and allow him into their life, they wonder how they ever functioned without him. Amen. Aren't you glad he's so good to us? In the book of Philippians here, as we read this, and we call it a book, it's a letter. It's a letter to you. Apostle Paul wrote from prison to the church in Philippi, to the Philippian church. And he was encouraging, he's in prison, but he's encouraging them. Y'all get that? He's in prison, but he's encouraging them. You ever been someplace and been to the bedside of somebody that is super sick, and they're dying? And as you stood by the bedside, you were encouraged by them. You were encouraged by their testimony. You were encouraged by their faith in God and realizing that irregardless of what happens, they've already won the battle. I've been there and I've been encouraged. I've been uplifted. Amen. I've been to people who are just stricken down, and the world looks at them and wonders, well, what do they have? And they say, well, I got Jesus and it's enough. What was that little old lady that lived up there on Cemetery Road? Mrs. Moore. Some reason I want to call her Mrs. Walter. Mrs. Moore. I used to go visit with her. And she had Parkinson's disease and she was hunched over. She would shake and she would bend. She couldn't straighten up no more than about like that. And she was only about that tall, wasn't she, Charles? She had just a tiny little thing all bent over. And I'd go visit with her, and we would sit in and talk to her and visit with her. And you think, my lands, this poor woman, she's just in the worst situation. She's all bent over. She can't even straighten out. And as she sat there in the chair, she couldn't even sit up to look at you. She'd have to twist her head up and look at you and talk to you. And she would just shake from the Parkinson's disease. And she'd get to telling you how good. She lived in a little old house. It wasn't no fancy mansion, just a little old tiny place. Most people might even consider it a shack, some people. But she would sit in there and she would just tell you how good Jesus has been to her, how much she loved Jesus, how good God is doing. And you'd leave there more encouraged than what you encouraged her by coming. Amen. That's what Paul is doing here as he's writing this letter to the Philippian church. He's encouraging them. In chapter number 1, in verse number 12, he says, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And he goes on, he said, look, he said, don't look about my circumstances and my situations. Amen. God's got everything in control, and he's worked it out to the furtherance of the gospel. Amen. Do you realize I've got to be in the palace, and I've got the witness in the palace, and I've got to tell people in the palace? He's talking about the head of the world power of his day. in Rome. He's in Nero's palace, and he's telling people about Jesus, and he's telling people about what Jesus is doing, and he's telling people about what Jesus is going to do, and he's in chains, and he's in bonds, and he's encouraging people about Jesus. Don't worry about the circumstances and situations. Amen. He said, I've got Jesus, and I've got a story to tell about Jesus. Amen. And Jesus has worked it out to where I can tell this story where he wants it told. Amen. Man, I tell you what, I learned a long time ago, we just got to get beyond circumstances. I get frustrated. I get angry. I get mad sometimes in the circumstances. But you know what? My wife would tell you, I tell them all the time, you can get mad all you want to, but we just got to get glad again. Amen. If we learn in the circumstances that God has brought us to where we're at for a reason, amen, where we learn that we can further the gospel. Can I get an amen? If we learn that God has us where we're at for a reason and for his purpose, we can be used of him. Paul didn't complain. Man, Paul gives his resume back there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Three times he had received 39 lashes. Three times he had been beaten with rods. He'd been shipwrecked several occasions. A night and a day he'd been in the deep. He'd been hunted like a dog. The king of Damascus had the city locked up and hunted him down to kill him. And he was led out of the city through a window in a basket by ropes. And they let him down that he might escape. He was stoned and left for dead. And I've told you, I wrote it in the margin of my Bible. You ought to write it there. So when you read it, you remember. He said, I didn't give up. That's what he was saying. I didn't quit. God done it, man. He sat there in that Philippian prison, been beaten, cast into the innermost part of the prison, his feet made tight in the stocks, and he and Silas didn't sit there and complain. Hey, man, the Bible says they sang hymns and prayed. You know what they did? They worshiped God. Hey, man, for the furtherance of the gospel. And look what happened. Somebody got saved. You know what else has happened? Down through the ages, people have heard the story of Paul and Silas in the jail and how the old Philippian jailer got saved. He didn't realize it, but he was in his own prison, and Jesus come and set him free. Amen. Paul said, man, don't worry about them circumstances over in chapter number 2. He talks about how our walk can glorify the Son, how our walk before him can give God the glory with our life. He says, wherefore, my beloved, in verse number 12, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And it goes on down, says, do all things without murmuring. He goes on down to tell us that we ought to walk a life that gives glory unto God. He encouraged them because he said Christ was willing to submit himself in the first part of chapter number 2. He said Jesus Christ himself was willing to step in. Man, that's why I love that song, How Many Kings. How many fathers, how many people would give up everything to people that deserved nothing that they might have life? And he said, Christ became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And he tells us if Christ can do that for us, then we can walk to honor him. Our lives can emulate him. Our lives can be a witness and a testimony. Work out your own salvation. It don't mean that you can get salvation. You can get saved because you work. Amen. But it means when you get saved, you want to work. And you want to do a work that gives God the glory. Amen. In chapter number 3, as Brother Mike preached out of chapter 3 this morning, Paul is encouraging the Philippian church in the hope that is within him, that he was willing to forsake everything for the hope of the gospel. He was willing to give it all up. He had a title. He had a position. He had education. He had authority that was granted unto him by the ruling class, the ruling party, the ruling power of his day. The Sanhedrin had given him authority to go and do the things that he did. And Paul's name was a name that brought fear to people who opposed the things that he stood for, and he gave it all up because he met Jesus one day on the road to Damascus. Paul said, I count it all but dung that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. He encouraged them to keep going on and not to worry about the things that were behind. He said, leaving the things that were behind, he says, I press toward the mark of the high calling of the Christ. Amen. Get untangled with those things that are holding you back. Don't worry about the things that you have. Don't worry about the friends that you had to give up. Don't worry about the things that you had to leave behind. Don't worry about the family that is forsaking you back there somewhere. He said, keep going on. Amen. Keep going on. He said, because there's more than what we have here. We're pilgrims and strangers passing through this low land of sin and sorrow. And then in chapter number 4, he encourages us about life. Paul, the prisoner. Paul didn't say, I was a prisoner of Caesar, or I was a prisoner of Rome. Paul never claimed to be a prisoner of anything but the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He knew why he was where he was, and he knew why he was there. But he never stopped living the life. His testimony never wavered, never changed, because his circumstances or situation had changed. His testimony and his life never changed because the testimony got harder to bear and the submission became harder to deal with. He never changed his testimony or his witness for Christ because he had lost his hope in Jesus. As a matter of fact, the closer he got to death, the more encouraged he got. As he wrote, they call it his swan song in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. Amen. He didn't talk about dying. He talked about departing. He didn't get discouraged about what was going to happen. Here over, I think it's there in chapter 1, he says, I would like to go on, but it's more needful for you for me to still be here. He said, I'm torn. I'm betwixt the strait. I want to go, but God needs me here. I want to go, but God has work for me to do here. And as I don't know if the execution decree had already been sent down or he was just waiting on it to come. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. Amen. I think he was excited. I think he was encouraged because he had hope in the resurrection. Amen. About 10 or 15 points here and we'll go to the house. Well, Brother Jim, he done got you all braced and ready for it. Amen. So I might as well just go ahead and preach. Paul encouraged the Philippian church. In verse number 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for your word. Encourage our hearts, Lord. Help us to be an encouragement to one another. And help us, God, tonight to honor you in everything we do. And we'll give you honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name we say amen and amen. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. You know, we don't have a whole lot to rejoice in sometimes. But no matter what our circumstances, our situation, no matter where we are in our work for Christ or what we're doing, we always have something to rejoice in. Amen. That's the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then he goes on to tell us some reasons why we can rejoice in Christ. Look in verse number 7. Or look in verse number 6. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. We can rejoice and be encouraged in the fact that we have access to the throne room of God. Not only do we have access to the throne room of God, we have the very ear of God. The Apostle John over in 1 John chapter 5 says, we know that he hears us when we pray according to his will. What's his will? How do we pray according to his will? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's a pattern for prayer. It's how we should pray. What do we pray for? God's will to be done. We have access to the ear of God in prayer. Do you think that Paul didn't get discouraged and disheartened sometimes and found encouragement because he could go to God in prayer and he knew that God heard his prayer? That's why he told the church in Thessalonica as he wrote unto them, those people who lived amongst the ones who buried their loved ones and inscribed upon their tombs and their burial vaults, no hope. That's why he said that you be as not be as others which have no hope. Amen. And he goes on to tell them about the hope of the resurrection. But he tells them to pray without ceasing. Amen. Prayer is a very important part of a Christian's life. Prayer is a very important aspect of our life that keeps us close to God. If a husband and a wife don't talk, pretty soon they start growing further apart. Ask my wife, because I don't talk to her too much. She says, you want to talk? I said, no, I want to go sleep. She always wants to talk to me when it's time to go to sleep. No, but if I didn't talk to my wife, we didn't communicate, we're going to grow farther apart. Amen. It's important. Communication is very important. Amen. If I didn't interact with you all as members of my church and as fellow believers and folks that I love to be with, and if I didn't talk to you pretty soon, we're not going to have a very cordial relationship, are we? We might walk by each other. Yeah, it's the truth. What makes you think it's any different with God when we don't talk to God, we don't take time to pray? Paul says we can rejoice in the Lord and in access that he's given us unto the throne of God, to the ear of God, knowing that God hears our prayers. God knows what's on our heart, what's on our mind. Now, sometimes she talks to me, it goes in one ear and out the other. Sometimes I talk to her, it goes in one ear and out the other. Sometimes I don't even think it makes it in. She just shuts it off. Amen. But God's not that way. Amen. God's not that way. Aren't you glad that God's not like we are? Amen. There's nothing that we pray, there's nothing that we bring to him that is lost or he misses out on. She's over on her computer and she's looking at something and I'm talking to her, and I talk to her about it the next day. We got plans this week and when? What? Huh? We was talking about that this morning. She talked to me. Don't you remember I just told you about that the other day. I'm sitting there looking at my computer, working, doing something on my computer. She's talking to me. I'm listening to her. Amen. But it's, because my focus is somewhere else. You know, God's not so busy that he can't focus on every one of us at the same time. God's never so busy that he can't hear all of us when we pray at the same time. Amen. I love her. She's my best illustration for so many things. Amen. Y'all feel sorry for her. I know you do. Look in verse number 7. We can rejoice in the Lord and be encouraged because of peace. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, through the years, the true children of God have been persecuted. The true children of God have been persecuted by the Catholic Church, been persecuted by the Protestant Church, been persecuted by the heathens. Amen. The barbarians, the total ungodly. They've been persecuted and belittled everywhere, but they've always had the peace of knowing that irregardless of what happened in their life, they had Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's why Paul never worried about circumstances and situations. He knew that he always had Jesus. When he was on his way to Rome and they were in that terrible storm, that Euroclydon, it's what they call it in Acts, it's a term for a storm, like we say hurricane or a typhoon. It was that magnitude of a storm. And let me tell you something. I was in a U.S. Navy warship in a storm like that. And Sister Connie looked this up and can tell you what I'm telling you is the truth. Amen. It tore our ship up. It destroyed our squadron when we run to that storm. I thought we was drowning. I thought we was done. We was going over. Our ship took a roll so far that we should have capsized, but the wave actually throwed us back up upright, thank God. Amen. But the whole inside of our ship was just flooded with water. We was walking in water that was up in the hatchways. And Brother Jim, tell you, water in a ship isn't a good idea. Water belongs on the outside of the ship. Amen. It snuffed our boilers out. When the boilers went out, it mean we lost all the power. We didn't even have emergency lighting. All we had was the little red, the very basic emergency lights. We couldn't get our emergency generator started because they were filled with water. We thought we were dying. I can imagine what it was like for Paul on that old wooden ship. Hey, man, they done throwed everything out. They done tied everything to make it go as straight as they could. They done everything they knew humanly possible, and there was nothing else to be done. And Paul said, "Sirs, you should have listened to me, but don't worry." He said, "Because the angel of the Lord, whose I am, stood by me this night and told me there'd be no loss of life, but of the ship only." Amen. Paul said, "I can go through the storm and I can have peace." The disciples were with Jesus in the boat, and he said, "Let us pass through to the other side." And the storm arose, amen. The boat began to fill with water. Jesus was asleep in the hinder part of the ship, and they woke him up and said, "Master, care us not that we perish." And Jesus stood up and said, "Peace be still." The wind ceased and the waves stopped, amen. And there was perfect peace. He said, "Oh, you little faith." Amen. Remember, the next time you're in a storm of life, amen, and we all go through storms of life, amen, it might be an illness. Brother George Ballou goes in for surgery on Friday. The chemo worked. They're going to remove his bladder. It's a storm of life. Brother Brian Shrewsbury, they didn't remove life support. They're going to do a brain scan tomorrow and work from there. But his family right now, they are going through a storm of life. And he said, "Thank you for the prayers." Now let him know we was praying. He said, "Thank you for the prayers." Brother Randy's recovering from one of his storms, and Brother Randy's been through a lot of storms, but he told his mama but this time, the last time they tried to start the surgery, they had to stop it because his heart went all out of whack, and he's just wanting to get better. He's just wanting to get healed. He don't care what it takes. If the Lord wants to take him home, he said, "That's all right. If I don't come through surgery, I'm ready to go." You know what that is? That's the peace of God that passes all understanding. That's a peace that only Jesus can give you. Over in John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you." I like the rest of what he said there, though. He said, "Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." You know, the peace that the world gives us is conditional most of the time. It rests on circumstances and situations being favorable. Amen. The peace that Jesus gives us, amen, maintains when situations and circumstances are unfavorable. Amen. See, he gives us a peace not like the world, but the peace that only he can give. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Verses 8 and 9. He said, we can rejoice in the Lord in godliness. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know what Paul said? He said, if you seek out godliness, look at all those things that he was talking about there. They all represent purity. They all represent godliness. They're all godly attributes. Amen? He said, rejoice in the Lord always, because there's a godly path that you can follow. There's a godly way that you can walk. There's a godliness that you can know and you can feel and you can experience. And he said, you've seen it in me. You've heard it from me. He said, if you keep these things, the God that I serve, the God that I trust in, the God of peace shall be with you. Hey, man, do you realize the closer you walk to God and the more you strive to be like him, the closer God walks to you? Amen. Some folks don't believe that. Some folks dispute that. But I believe it's true. He said, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Amen. That tells me if you want to get closer to God, you can get closer to God. And if you want to get closer to God, he wants to get closer to you. Amen. And the only way to get closer to God is to be more like him, is to walk closer to him. Amen. Problem is, most of us, we want God when we have problems, but we don't have time for him when everything's going good. We want to live for God when we have situations in our life and it gets beyond our control and our ability to handle it and deal with it. And then all of a sudden we want to pull God out of the trunk like the trunk monkey. Like they used to say, a spare tire. But if you've never seen the trunk monkey commercials, that's just about, I mean, I got a trunk monkey. How many's ever seen them? All right. How many of you got computers or know somebody around you that's got access to a computer? Ask them to show you the trunk monkey commercials. They're a spoof. They're a joke. But you push this button for the trunk monkey. It's like OnStar. You know, you push the button for the trunk monkey, and they got a trunk monkey for every situation. They got the trunk monkey. The original one was protection. You know, the guy pulled up this, cut somebody off, and the guy, big old burly guy, gets out and he's shouting at this guy through the window. He's going to beat him up and all this stuff. And the guy pushes the trunk monkey button, and the trunk monkey comes out, and he's got him a club, and he wails this guy upside the back of the head, and he, you know, passes out, and back the trunk, and gets back in the trunk, and they go on. They got another trunk monkey. The woman gets pulled over for speeding, and the cops got her there, and the cop's talking to her, and she reaches over, and she pushes the button, and the trunk monkey walks out with the donut for the cop on his finger, and, you know, the donut don't work, and the monkey's got money, and he's, that your monkey? She said, no. They lock the monkey up and haul the monkey off, and she goes on her way. They got the chaperone trunk monkey. The young couple's out dating. I can't believe your dad let us bring his car. Yeah, no problem. And the dude starts getting a little bit too close to the young lady, and here you hear the shotgun go in the back seat. They got the OBGYN trunk monkey. The lady's delivering. She couldn't make it to the hospital, and the boy don't know what to do. The young father don't know what to do. He pushes the button, and the OBGYN trunk monkey jumps out. He's got the little reflector thing on his head, and the woman's there. The monkey's sitting there going, trying to teach her how to breathe. But ain't that the way we treat God? Another situation. Let's push the button for the trunk monkey God to get out. It's the truth. It's the way we treat him. I don't have time for him. I want him in the trunk until another situation arises. This time I'm in danger. Let me push the button. This time it's my family. Let me push the button. This time I'm dealing with a spiritual battle. Let me push the button. But if we just walk with him all the time and keep him close all the time, we wouldn't have to worry about pushing the button. Amen. We wouldn't have to worry about him being in the trunk. We wouldn't have to worry about him being the co-pilot. Amen. He'd be in the driver's seat. Amen. I walk with him and I talk with him. And he tells me, I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Amen. You want to get encouraged in something, get encouraged by your walk with Jesus. Amen. Walking close to him. Look at what he says all down here. I know we got to go on. Folks wanting to go to the house. Look in verses 10 to 12 and down in 18. But he says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me has flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And down in verse number 18, I think it is, 18 or what I got it wrote down here. But I have all in abound. I'm full receiving of Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor, a sweet smelling sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Paul said we can rejoice in the fact that irregardless of where we're at or what we're doing, we can be content. Yeah. Amen. Irregardless. In a Philippian jail, if that's where God wants me, that's where I'm going to pray and praise God. In a Philippian jail with stripes on my back, my feet in the stocks, that's where I'm going to worship him. I'm going to be content there. I know how to be abased and how to abound. I know in everything how to find contentment, because my contentment isn't in the things of this world. My contentment's in my Lord. Amen. And as long as I got Jesus, he's all I need. He's all I need. When I just need someone to talk to, he's always there to hear my prayer each time I call him. And on this friend I can rely, my thirsty soul. He'll satisfy, for he's the Lord of all. He's all I need. Amen. I love that song. Amen. If I got him, I got it all. If I got him, I got everything I need. Amen. My wife and my kids can forsake me. And praise God, the psalmist said he wouldn't. Amen. He said, if I find myself in the depths of hell, and that's not talking about hell like we're, no, and hell's eternal, and he's not talking about that. He's talking about in the grave, in Sheol. Amen. In that place between heaven and earth. He said that the old saints were in before Christ came. Amen. Before Christ preached and delivered them from that place. He said, even if I find myself there. He said, I'm not forsaken. He said, he's there. Why? Because David said, I'm one of his. Paul says, I'm one of his. Paul says, you're one of his. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Find contentment in Jesus Christ. If you find contentment in Jesus Christ alone, everything else becomes a moot point. Everything else becomes consequential. Amen? Everything else is contingent in reality upon where you're at with Jesus. Amen? If you have contentment in your heart, knowing that you're where you need to be with him, everything else works out fine. Everything else works out just like it should. Look in verse number 13. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Rejoice in the Lord always. always, and again I say rejoice. Why? Because in Him we can accomplish whatever it is He has in mind for us to do. Whatever it is that we need to do. Our confidence is in Christ. Our confidence isn't in the strength of men. Our confidence isn't in my ability, in my knowledge. Our confidence isn't in what I know, but praise God, it's in who I know. Amen. Amen. I can do all things through Christ. I can't do all things through Charlestown Baptist Church, but I can do all things through Christ. I can't do all things through Dennis Gilbert, but I can do all things through Christ. Amen. What I never thought possible, I have found is possible in Christ and through Christ. Verse 19. But my God, amen, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. And most time that's where people stop. You hear that verse quoted, that's where people stop most of the time. But they miss the very most important part of the verse. Three words, by Christ, amen. By Christ Jesus. Rejoice because in Christ Jesus, everything has been satisfied. Every need has been so. The greatest need of man, the need of redemption, of salvation, of restoration in his relationship with God has been met in Christ Jesus. Our sin debt is paid. The sting of death is removed. Every need is satisfied. Reality is put into perspective. Hell no longer has a claim. Amen. Just a pilgrim and a stranger passing through this world is all I need to be, all I want to be, and all I care about being. Everything that I have down here, I'm going to leave behind one day. Amen. Somebody's going to get it. My kids might inherit it. My wife might sell it and hock it all. She told me she's selling my farm. She said, if I go before, she said, on the way to Crouches, she's stopping at the realtor. You believe that? Cruel. Cruel. So I told her, I said, talk to Crouch. He may make you a package deal. Amen. Amen. When you stop and think about it, the Bible tells us our life is but a vapor. It appears for a while and then it's gone. Think about that. Put your life into perspective. You think that you have forever. These young kids sitting here think they're going to get to be old, ugly people like me. Well, some of them think they're going to get to be old, beautiful people like they are. But you know what? I buried a granddaughter in a little coffin about that big. I buried a little boy, 5 years old, burned up in a house fire in a coffin about that big. I've been to the funeral of teenagers. Put your life in perspective and realize that we have no promise of forever. We have no promise of tomorrow. We have no promise of another day. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Whether you're this big, or this big. We all have an appointment with death. Whether you're a little baby, whether you're an old man, we have an appointment that we're going to keep. But Christ has supplied the need that we had, that we can face death with confidence. We can face death with contentment in our heart and in our life. I remember when Brother Benny Johnson's dad was a-dying and they were asking folks to pray. He said, tell folks not to pray for my recovery, not to pray for my health, but just tell them to pray for the grace of God. Amen. Just tell them to pray that I would have grace. Mm-hmm. Amen. He realized what he needed. Jesus would supply. What he needed, Jesus had. The peace that passes understanding. that helps you cope and helps you deal with death. The question is tonight, was Paul is encouraging the Philippian church from chapter 1 all the way to the end of chapter 4? Is do you possess, do you have what this church had? They had Christ as their Savior. First and foremost, do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you know Him as the one who paid your sin debt? As the one who died on that old rugged cross? As the only King that came down from glory? The only God that surrendered His own life to save you from a place called hell? A place never intended for you, but the devil tricked mankind into falling for. If you don't know Him as your Savior, the greatest need you have tonight is to know that you're saved. To know beyond a shadow of a doubt. But if you have Him as your Savior and you're not walking close to Him, you'll never know Him the way that He wants you to know Him. You'll never have total peace in your life. Paul said over in chapter 3, that I may know Him. That I may know Him. Paul already met Him. Amen. He met Him on the road to Damascus. Amen. He met Him on His way to go and to persecute the church. And he met Him and He knew who He was. He said, who art thou, Lord? What wilt thou have me to do? He met Him. He knew who He was. But you know, he got to know Him as he began to walk close with Him. Maybe you don't know Him the way that you should. Maybe you're not walking as close as you should. Maybe you need to get a little closer. Maybe tonight the message is for you. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Savior. Rejoice in your all in all. Rejoice in Him because He has everything you need. And He brings everything you need. The problem is, tonight, most of us don't take time to realize what our need is. So we stand to our feet tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed.